Diamond Heart 7, Saturday, January 17th, morning session.
It's nice. It's nice to be with you again. And from what I see, you have a retreat coming up next month. Be more intensive kind of work we're going to be doing together. This weekend is really a continuation of the previous one, in the sense that we are investigating the same quality of our true nature. To go into it further, more particular, and more depth. As we understand and become more open to these qualities, which means being open to our true nature, we are free then to experience our possibilities of life. Possibilities of existence in a more open, more free manner, under the normal circumstances, our experience of our possibility is constrained and limited by conventional and habitual patterns and positions about reality, what we are, what reality is, how things happen, what's possible, what's not possible. Not constraining limiting effect of the conventional view of the ego perspective. Leaves us with a very narrow slice of what's possible. And so basically the work is liberating our experience to be open to the fullness of what is possible in reality, the fullness of what life and being offer. Whatever we call it, liberation, enlightenment, realization, illumination. It's a matter of understanding how reality is and being liberated from the habitual and unconscious constraints. It's not like we need to make it a certain way. It's more like we need to be free from the constraints so that reality appears to us the way it can be. We usually constrain our consciousness to perceive a very narrow band, and we think that's reality. when I say reality, I mean what you perceive, the objects you behold, your faculties and capacities, your inner experiences, the outer events, time, past, present, and future, and space, and its separations and its forms. I mean all of everything. As human beings, we hold the keys to the secrets of existence. Our consciousness is the key. The key has to be free to operate, to open up, to unlock the secrets. Our suffering and our difficulties and a great deal of conflicts and what we call ignorance in the world is really a symptom of the possibilities, symptoms of the freedom and luminosity and goodness that is possible. When it is not, when these are not free to manifest themselves, they appear in the distorted ways that we call conflict, suffering, difficulties. Hence, these are really symptoms. They are not problems. The fact that we have them is a symptom of what is possible. So they are not thing to be gotten rid of. They are thing to be understood, because by understanding them, we can be able to recognize reality and its possibilities. So that's why in our work we tend to present two sides of this equation: the side of the obstacles, the constraints, so we can penetrate them, be free from them. We also present the possibilities, the true, real, positive potential of our being. The habitual stance is powerful. Not just because of our long-term history that has constructed and established it and continues to enforce it through memory and deep impression, but because the rest of the world concurs and supports it. That is how reality is. It's like as we understand ourselves, we understand consciousness, mind, and the laws through which they operate. Just like our science unlocks the laws of physical nature, the inner works unlock the laws of consciousness, of experience. So we can, and as we understand the laws, we will be educated to function according to them, not against them. Because as you know, you cannot work against natural laws. One of these natural laws, one of the things we notice that seems to be lawful, is that when we have penetrated to a free place in us, when we got deeper, when our potential is accessible, it's manifesting, expressing itself, can't help but like it, enjoy it. We might have many ideas and position what will give us happiness and enjoyment. And some of them are correct, some of them are overstated, some of them are completely wrong. Yet, but there is one particular observation that many of you have already noticed, which is when you are open to your potential, when your true nature is manifesting, when you're recognizing the truth about what reality is, you can't help but enjoy it. Joy opens up at the discovery of the real. Joy opens up at discovery, as we explored last week in terms of curiosity. But when we discover is a beautiful reality in the world or in us, the joyfulness is bright, is celebrative. When things close down, when things are habitual, things don't just get stale, but they get heavy and difficult to enjoy. What is it about discovery that makes us happy? Discovery means something new opened up. We have our consciousness get liberated to see something new about reality, about itself. That opening of reality automatically brings enjoyment, brings delight. This is actually a natural law of consciousness, natural law of our mind. Because when the consciousness opened up, its capacities are unconstrained, right? Doesn't matter what it is we're experiencing. We like it, we enjoy it, we delight in it. So we talk about the delight of discovery, the enjoyment of curiosity. Why? Curiosity means I want to find out what it is. Discovery means you're really finding out. So really, the work is not about getting someplace. It's not like there's some kind of state, some kind of condition we want to make present, make possible. It's more when reality is doing its thing freely. When our consciousness doing what it can do without restraint. Doesn't matter what's it doing, what's it going to reveal. We're happy, we're enjoying ourselves, we're excited, we're delighted. There's a lightness, and there's a carefree playfulness. When it's drudgery, when it is constraint, when it is heaviness, it's difficult to enjoy, it's difficult to be happy. Why does everybody want to be free? Everybody says, I want to be free, I don't want to be constrained, I don't want to be imprisoned. People, you know, sacrifice their life for freedom. Why? Because freedom opens the heart. You're unconstrained, and the lack of constraint means you can enjoy existence. There is not only meaning, but a delight in it. When we're not free, we get depressed. Heavy. We feel like we're not free to exercise our rightful, lawful possibilities. Moving in a different way, experiencing in a different way, seeing in something new, hearing something different in a fresh way, experiencing somebody in a novel way, somebody revealing something to you about themselves that you haven't seen before, seeing something new about. It's always not only curious and interesting, but it's delightful. So one of the natural laws of reality is that the heart manifests its joy when our consciousness is moving toward freedom, is tasting some freedom. When it is becoming liberated from restraints and constraints. Much of the time, we don't even know what's constraining us. You might know some of the outer physical thing, the economy, or your partner, or your job, or something. But we don't know much of what's constraining our consciousness from within. These really are the primary constraints that we need to contend with, because the outer ones are always changing. And they constrain you only because something in you responds to them in a way that constrains your heart and your soul. It's our inner constraint, our positions, our beliefs, our entrenched patterns that we believe have to happen that way. That's why the happy life is a fresh new life. People think if they establish something, finally they get what they want, and they secure it, they're going to continue to be happy. If you secure it, it continues to be the same, your happiness is very short-lived. If it doesn't evolve and develop and bring about new and novel ways of being and reveal more the truth more freshly, more newly, doesn't matter whether it was the fulfillment of your dreams, it will become stale. So we explore the curiosity and discovery because it is part of the natural law of consciousness that the liberation from constraint and the openness to the freshness of reality, its possibilities, is what opens up the joy of the heart. It's what makes accessible for us the possibility to delight in experience, to delight in our perception. We think joy and delight and playfulness and ease and lightness is for kids. Kids, young, they seem to be happy and playful. They're all spending their time playing and having fun and delighting and giggling and laughing. And adults, of course, supposed to be serious. And even though there is a truth to the seriousness, it's real, we need to take things seriously. But serious doesn't mean heavy. Doesn't mean weighed down. What's the point of being heavy, to be responsible and take care of things, if you end up spending your life gloomy and not enjoying it. Yes, I'm taking care of things, I'm surviving. You know, you might as well be a robot surviving. That's not a human life. Human life delights in the freshness and the newness and the development and the transformation. And that means it's always skirting danger. Always there is a possibility of insecurity. If it were just the familiar, the predictable, then it is, that's exactly what the ego wants. And it is the exact opposite of the attitude of the inner work. The inner work means we're always putting our experience on the line. We don't know what's going to happen. We are open to recognizing that maybe reality is not the way it seems. That maybe we are not necessarily awake. Maybe we are really dreaming. Maybe we are a dream that is imagined by somebody else. Maybe there is an alien, powerful creature who is imagining all these people, and those people are in a condition of dream that makes them believe they're awake and living life. I'm willing to entertain that possibility. But our belief, no, this is me, this is the world, this is reality, and I do this and that. All these beliefs that we have about reality, the work and time will throw them all out. Doesn't mean we'll try to make you insecure or bring danger to your life. That's not the point. The point is to liberate your mind and liberate your consciousness, just to be open and to really find what is it, what's the truth, what's possible. How can reality be? Maybe the way it is one of the ways reality can be. Obviously it is. But is it the only way? And is there only one other way? Or are there infinite ways of reality can be? And we can be open to all of them. So the inner work is an invitation to adventure, a very fundamental adventure. Adventure that questions everything, absolutely everything. It's not just a matter of an adventure into a new land, but adventure maybe that even the land you are familiar with is not exactly what you think it is. Used to think of making a sci-fi movie a while ago. And I always thought, what it would be a nice, good sci-fi movie is if instead of traveling someplace, some faraway star or whatever, is to be just where you are in your kitchen and finding a way to see it as much more exotic than all those creatures and all those faraway galaxies. But I didn't study filmmaking, and I'd have to wait another lifetime. That would be a fun thing. I could make many movies like that that are very interesting, exciting, very entertaining, at the same time, very challenging to who we think we are. Because the usual sci-fi movies and fantasy movies don't challenge who you are. They just tell you some faraway place or time and is reality such and such. I like it to be, no, right? This one, it's really much more unusual, much more extraordinary than we know. So you can get all the wonderful entertainment and the color and special effect, and at the same time, it's really about you. So that attitude of openness and lack of constraint and restraint, not adhering to positions, beliefs, ideas about what reality is, letting things open up, just be free, is what opens, what makes accessible this quality of true nature that we call joy. Joy as an actual presence, as a presence of lightness, of presence of effervescence, the effervescent present, the playful and light, and lightheartedness, inner spaciousness. So we basically saying that joy is a particular quality of being. To King Spizant as a presence, but this presence is very light, very light, very has a brightness to it, and a light and happiness to it, and playfulness to it, experimentalness to it. It's a quality of our being, it's not a quality of children. Children can experience it because their being still hasn't been defined yet. Because their world of possibilities for them is not yet established. Of what is. The parents and society and their education make sure it becomes defined. And then that closes down the joy little by little. And then we're searching for happiness within those confines. We were already happy and delighted and able to experience joy. So I always wonder, why not find out how come we were that way then but not now? How come more kids have fun than adults? People say, well, because they don't work, they don't have jobs. That is true, but if you look at them, they're busy with things. They're busy playing and doing things. I mean, it's not like they're just sleeping all the time. They actually don't want to go to bed. They're busy with all kind of other things. So we could be working, but we could work in such a way that we're busy in that sense. In a way, it's fun to be busy. We don't want to go to bed because I'm so busy doing what I really enjoy doing. You see. But we put our play and our adventure into very well-established, structured, predetermined ideas and plans and dreams and responsibilities that, even though they have some truth, they become the dominant force, then becomes a force of heaviness, inertia. And we lose the bright sunny heart of joy. Joy is bright and sunny like the radiant yellow sun. That's a quality that is different from the other quality in the sense that it's not only happiness and good feeling and delightedness and lightness and lightheartedness. It has a sense of freedom and carefreeness and a lack of self-consciousness. Joy is one of those qualities of consciousness where it is more there the less we look at it. Self-consciousness tends to restrain it. Because if we're self-conscious, we become less spontaneous. We begin to want to guard our manifestation, our expression. We want to restrain how we express ourselves. And that closes down the joy. That's why joy is a very delicate quality, very can easily be destroyed in terms of our immediate experience. A little bit of self-consciousness, a little bit of recognizing that I am really happy and continuing to be, oh, I'm really great, I'm happy. If you do that, that's not what happiness is about. Happiness is the openness to reality. That's what brings it about. It's not something to grab hold of. It is the expression of reality when it is free. When it is free to manifest itself in whatever way is fit for it. Not according to our plans or programs. That's why I don't think it's possible for the computer to be happy. You always think of, sometimes they think, sci-fi, when you think of robots at some point have feelings. Maybe they can do emotional chip so they can have, feeling. But as long as the whole thing is programmed, it's antithetical to the laws about joy. They might have feeling, you might feel depressed, you might feel sad, all that, but joyfulness means there is no program. It's not preset. When it is according to a preset thing, predetermined thing, it's unlikely you'll feel that delight and burst of joyfulness and happiness. So we'll explore many things about this quality, this aspect. Part of it is what's the energy behind curiosity. It is the quality of consciousness, and when it is there, we become curious. We become interested in discovery. But it is also the quality that when there is discovery, there is an enjoyment, there is a delight. So the enjoyment and the curiosity are two sides of the same thing. But enjoyment can be many things, and everything. It's a quality of our being, the quality to enjoy, the quality to delight, the quality, the possibility to celebrate in an unrestrained, non-self-conscious way. So it's not exactly what people have in mind when they say happy. When people say I am happy, they mean they have their life the way they want to. Mm-hmm. You see? So they mean they're contented or they got it the way they want. But joy is a particular kind of happiness where it is more active, dynamic enjoyment in the moment. It is the actual exercise of the heart, of its lightness and freedom that manifests in a natural inherent quality of our being, which is, it is full of joy. It is, our being is inherently light and light-hearted and sweet. Yeah, the yellow aspect, which is the color of the joy, also has a sweet, and the sweetness of it is one of those that has a sweetness that is familiar to us. Now, some qualities have sweetness that we can't find an earthly counterpart to. Joy has a sweetness that has an earthly counterpart. It is exactly the sweetness of sugar. When you taste it, it feels sweet, like I'm tasting sugar. See? But it's sugar that doesn't give you more calories. zero calorie sugar. You see? And you can actually, it could pervade your being, could pervade your consciousness, your body, and you just feel this sweet. But the sweetness has like a, you know how people like sweetness, and inherent to human being, to one's sweetness, not just because of all our enzymes, through nature is sweet, has sweetness as a possibility in it. And sugar is one of its flavors. And sugar, when you experience that sugary sweetness, in it, we're delighted, we're happy, we're light-hearted, we're free. So it is an enjoyment that is non-self-conscious, that is light-hearted and free and light. So there's a lightness and a bubbliness to the quality of joy. It is a presence, but it's a very delicate presence. It doesn't have a heaviness or a density. It's just like a light, a shiny, brilliant yellow light that pervades the heart, pervades the consciousness, pervades the experience, and feels sweet and nice and but gives us the capacity to enjoy and to feel full of joy. The joy of reality, the joy of being. Joy is one of the most difficult qualities to actually establish, because it is easily snuffed out, because it has to do with the openness and open-endedness and the unrestrained quality of consciousness. So the moment we want to restrain it, constrain it, make it one way or another, it's gone. So if we even want our experience to be that way, one way or another, even if it is an experience of enlightenment or this, the joy just simply disappears. And joy is more like this bird who's been put in a cage and stopped singing because it wants to fly. No more, you open the cage, and as it flies away, it chirps. And that is the quality of the joy, as the flying away into freedom itself is the joy. So as you see, because of the thing in it, I mean non-self-consciousness, the spontaneity and restraint expression, makes it delicate, vulnerable to interference. Because our mind has millions of interferences with that kind of unrestrained, non-self-conscious, light-hearted, just being, way of being in our life. But the good news is that it is truly a quality of our being. It is not something to attain. We're not going to get joy, enjoyment, and happiness by accomplishing a certain task, by fulfilling a particular dream. It's not going to happen that way because it has to do with the freedom of our being. It is inherent to us. We don't need to look for it anywhere else. But it also has to do with the freedom of our being, our inner freedom. When the heart is free to experience itself and express itself, that is natural to it, the expression of that freedom is joy. The indication of that freedom is the joyfulness. Like the joy is the natural side effect of the openness of freedom. Open freedom brings many other things, but joyfulness is one particular thing that human beings are looking for. But they go about it in ways that are too constrained, too heavy-handed, too serious in a mental way. So let's do some exercises to explore both the constraints and the openness. So we'll do three repeating questions. First one. Tell me something you believe about joy. Tell me something you believe about joy. What do you believe? You might believe about the conditions, what it is, or what brings it about, what condition you have to have, whether you have it or not. Whatever you believe. You want to get into your belief system and positions and ideas about joy. Enjoyment. So 10 minutes a person, tell me something you believe about joy. Second question is, tell me something that limits your joyfulness. Tell me something that limits your joyfulness. Whatever it is, your beliefs, your ideas, your economy, whatever you feel limits your joyfulness. 10 minutes a person. And then, the third question is, tell me a way you experience joy. Tell me a way you experience joy. And the third one is for 20 minutes. Because we're going to do it as a looping question. Remember the looping question where you alternate? Tell me a way you experience joy. You ask a question, tell me your experience joy. Oh, love to dance. Thank you. You switch around. Tell me a way you experience joy. It's like bubbles. Thank you. Tell me a way you experience joy. Just keep switching back and forth. And that way your energy interacts with each other. So we'll come back in an hour. We'll discuss all of it again. Discussion time. Questions, comments, sharing. Yeah. Okay, you can stand up here.
I'm Rudolfo. Working? Thanks. I'm curious, a little bit more delineation between joy and happiness, and I'm wondering if happiness is the need of the ego and maybe joy is the need of the soul?
I wouldn't say that. I think they're sort of the same thing. When I was making a distinction when people say, I want to be happy or live a happy life. What do they mean? They don't usually mean, I just want to have joy. They mean they want to have their life be a certain way. And I'm saying joy is not about any particular condition. It is the feeling itself, the state of joyfulness. And that state of joyfulness is a happy feeling. And so what people call happiness might be like a condition for having joy. But in terms of the actual aspect, we don't distinguish between happiness and joy. They're the same thing. When you feel joyfulness, it's a happy feeling, basically.
Because it seems a lot of times happiness has to do with goals and achieving a goal. And I was saying that...
that's what I mean, having conditions.
Right.
That's what people think. If they achieve a certain goal, that they'll be happy. But the joy is the actual feeling itself, the state itself of happiness. Not the conditions.
Yeah. The adab sheet sent out. Do we have a mic runner?
Yeah. In the back.
Hi, I'm Jolana.
Hi.
We want to know how we can be good parents.
How you could be a good parent? About being good parents. There are many things you need to educate yourself about in terms of what the needs of the child and how you live and be healthy and all these things that will be good for your child. So those are more the general outer thing. In terms of your inner experience, the more real you are, the more you are yourself. And let the more your true self express itself in relation to your child, the more that the child gets what they need from you, the more contact, the emotional level. So your what affects your child is how you relate to them, but also how you are. You're a model for them. You impress them by what a human being is like. That's going to be a big determinant factor for your child. So the way you are a human being, the way you are yourself, the more you're real, the more you're in touch with yourself, the more you're free, the better parent you will be. See? But when I say educate yourself, because there are many things that are, by now we know about children and what's good for them, what's not, and the health of the mother and how it's affected the child and those kind of things you could just learn.
Are there any ways to not crush his spirit, to be able to keep him in touch with his true nature and essence as much as possible?
I can't hear you. Put it near your mouth. Yeah.
I'm wondering about keeping him in touch with his true nature and essence as much as possible.
The more you are in touch with your true nature, the more he will be stay in touch with his true nature. However, it is part of the development of the soul that he will not be able to stay with his touch with his true nature completely. It's natural that he will lose some touchness with it. But it's a matter of degree, right? And you can help with the degree by being as real as possible and relate to them with lovingly and, you know, lovingly and real. Lovingly doesn't mean not having boundaries or not taking care of yourself, you know. That's what I mean, you have to be real. So your child is important for you and important in his own, but also it's you and you have your life, right? And the child needs to learn at some point as he grows up that you're an important person too, not just him. You see? If he thinks you're all there for him, it's fine the first year or so, a year and a half. After that, it's not healthy for the child. You need to know that you're a real person with your own feeling, your own needs, and these need to be recognized and understood and considered. I think so. It seems you're breastfeeding him, right? I think that's good. I think as it's been, research has shown that actually breastfeeding is healthy for the child, for their health, for their well-being and all of that. So I agree with that from my own experience. And I think it's good to breastfeed the child till sort of the child feels they don't want it anymore. And people are different. I was actually having a discussion with somebody the other day about how people deal with breastfeeding and how different people get breastfed different time. Some people a few months, some people actually a few years. And I was wondering, well, what's wrong with breastfeeding till somebody gets married? You continue it till they move on to the next person. I don't know. I mean, nobody tried that, but...
Thank
it
you.
Might be good for everybody concerned. But the idea is that the breastfeeding at the beginning, it combines both the nourishment, the caretaking, and the love and interaction, all of it as an expression of you as a mother. And of course, you know, who knows how long it will last, a few months or whatever, or the child has enough of that and want to grow and become more independent, and you know, and then it can change. Of course, the child will need to eat solid food at some point. But the interaction at the beginning, so the breastfeeding, is not just food, as you know. That's the important thing. And that's what the research is showing. Although part of it is food, part of it is actually the immune system, and all, but a lot of it is emotional, really. Their psyche and the development of their brain. And so I'm glad you're able to, because sometimes a mother can't do it. See, so it's fortunate that that happens.
Thank you.
Okay.
My name's Eric. When we do the inquiry, I want to be able to do self-inquiry with the curiosity that we talk about and exploration. But I also notice that a lot of times there's a lot of pressure to find something or to discover something. And I think that's impeding my inquiry.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, how do we work with that? Do we just inquire into that feeling, that either that self-consciousness or that pressure? There's just this pressure to feel or find something.
Yeah. So the inquiry the motive of inquiry is loving the truth for its own sake, which means you just want to see the truth. The truth is always there. And it's not a matter of finding something new. If you just see the truth, the new will arise on its own. So the newness doesn't need to become a goal. Right? Because there is truth in every moment, every second there is some truth. It's a matter of seeing, being interested in that truth. And as you see more of the truth, that will bring up a new, sometimes brings up old thing too, that you need to see. So, yeah, so you'll see that goal orientation that's arising, and you just recognize it, understand it, and understand that you can get stuck with that, which can disconnect you really from true inquiry.
So the inquiry shifts to that pressure then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the inquiry. That's when I say playfulness and experimentation and exploration. That's the joy quality, actually, which means I'm not oriented toward a goal. Even the goal of something new. That can become a goal.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay.
My name is Mark. Yeah. I'm wondering about false joy. Would that be desire, lust, craving?
Well, I mean, there is false joy when somebody is feeling okay and good and they think they're happy when it is not real. You see, a lot of people do think to get joy, to be happy. They get into a problem here. Talk about entanglements, you know.
Yeah.
when we try to set up situation and plan our party or something so that we will feel happy, we feel joy, that's when the false joy happens. That you get, you think you should be excited, you should be happy about this. Partly the should, and partly having an investment in your mind that you should feel okay, you should be happy. So you're have some people have a demeanor of feeling lighthearted, whatever, while in reality it's not true. They're avoiding pain. That would be a false joy. So there is such a false joy. And some people might think somebody is really happy when they're really, if you check a little deeper, you find that it's not true.
I was noticing in our inquiry of how when people are happy because of conditions, it's because they're pleased with them, so they're more willing to look at their experience, so they see some truth unfolding and feel joy. So that joy and that conditioned happiness feel very similar. That seems to make sense.
Similar to what?
Conditioned happiness.
Yes.
Feels like joy. It doesn't last, but it has the same feel.
Well, sometimes the conditioned happiness can bring real joy, in the sense, because you get what you want, right? You're open and relaxed for a while. That can bring the joy. But if you feel the, you know, it depends on that condition, that will close it down.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So you could definitely organize to meet with a friend and get together for lunch, whatever, and you're happy to see them. But if your joy depended on seeing them, after a while when they're gone, you're not happy anymore.
Uh-huh.
Or if they cancel, if for some reason, you know, then you're not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you.
So the idea is to see the condition and recognize it is the quality of our being. The condition might help us be open to it, but it's a non-conditioned potential. Okay, here, front.
Yeah, we're talking about joy as if it's a single...
As what?
As if it's a single feeling.
Yeah.
In my experience, and maybe I need to get more precise about what we're talking about, because there's a whole range between, at the one end, you could have excitement and enthusiasm, which is associated with a lot of... where the mind is very sharp, there's action, there's involvement, and at the other end of the spectrum, there's bliss, where the mind tends to completely stop, and there's like a detachment from the world. And where does joy fall, or does joy encompass all the things? No,
joy is the good question. Joy is something specific. It's neither of those, actually. Joy is not euphoria, it's not bliss, not ecstasy, it's not pleasure. You see, joy is just a light-hearted enjoyment, happy feeling. Now, blissfulness is a happy feeling, has joy in it, but blissfulness has more profundity and more... You don't have to be light-hearted to feel bliss. Same thing as pleasure. You know. So, there are similarities, you know, between joy, pleasure, bliss, ecstasy, satisfaction, fulfillment, all of that. There are some similarities in the sense they're all sweet, they're all happy feeling. But joy is more the light-hearted light. So it's more particular. Yeah. What's the question there?
I had a similar question. I'm Jim. With like joy in the belly, if that's...
joy in the belly?
Like as a belly quality, or I was thinking about pleasure.
Yeah.
And so you answered that question, but sometimes I feel like my joy in the belly.
Yeah.
And it feels like my belly is laughing, but...
So yeah, sometimes the belly laugh, right?
Yeah.
Right, sure. Joy, just like any other quality, it is a heart quality, but heart quality doesn't mean it has to be the heart. Mm. You know, it is a heart quality in the sense it's sweet and... has a loving quality to it. But yeah, your whole body has joy. Your mind can, your head can be in the head. Joy, the joy of knowing, the joy of, you know, discrimination. But also sometimes physical joy, the joy of movement, and, mm-hmm. but sometimes just the laughter. You can feel it as a state in your belly. Sure.
Thanks.
Sounds good. I think we have one more question. Okay.
My name is Mary Beth. I had an experience last year that was prolonged and profound, about 30 minutes or so, and it was this light, delicate sweetness. It's like you described as joy, yeah. But I thought it was more of peace or a quality of love. And I'm wondering if it was joy, but it was very, very delicate, very tender, very sweet.
Well,
there was lightness to it.
Yeah, so there are many of those sweet qualities. All the heart qualities tend to be sweet. And so love is sweet, you know, and there are different kinds of love. What differentiates joy from love is that love has a sense of appreciativeness to it. Sense of appreciation.
Appreciation,
liking somebody, appreciating them, and a generosity in it, and wanting to make the other person happy. That's love. Joy is more like spontaneous delight. It has nothing to do with somebody or not. Might be, but not necessarily.
Okay, this was in a meditation experience, and so it was more delight, I think.
Yeah, so it sounds like so.
So that's yeah. joy then?
That's more joy.
Okay.
More of a delight.
More delight.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Light-hearted delight. Yeah. So I think we have an announcement we're going to make. Okay.
So if you haven't paid yet, if you can give me your check before you go to lunch, I'd appreciate it. And the person who, I think I see my pen over there. Yeah, okay, that's it.
Good, so I will be seeing you, I think, in the retreat. You're gonna have several days. I'll come there for part of it, and I think we still don't know that we're gonna be here or the new center. It's still being determined. So we'll see you at 2:30.
Something I didn't.